You're tuned in to Muscle Car Radio.
Welcome to Muscle Car Radio. I'm Harry Christian, your host, and this is the first episode for 2019. I have with me today a couple of three special gentlemen. I've got Jason Brownlee, otherwise known as F1, all things supercar, all things F1. Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm very well, mate. How are you?
Yeah, sensational. It's been a long time, mate, and you're going well?
I am, indeed.
Now, I understand you've sold your soul in recent times, and you've gone away from the Commodore V8, and you've gone into a V8 Audi.
Yes, I have. It does pang me to say that, but they've stopped making cars in Australia now, so we've moved on.
We'll talk to that later because I've actually started a revolt. You know what I did this week, Jase?
Mm-hmm.
I actually bought a V6 Commodore wagon in revolt, and that is what I'm driving. I've given away the Merc.
What, the ZB?
No, mate. The last one they made, what was that? The ZF, I think it's called.
No. The VF.
The VF, yeah.
Series 2.
And so, mate, I'm going to talk to you about it later because I'm a bit pissed off with you. Because why? Because you've been like Holden, Ford or Chrysler. That's what you grew up as. Hang on a second. You're a young boy. You're from country young.
Yep.
And you grew up a Holden boy. I grew up a Valiant boy in Canterbury in New South Wales. And I've gone the other way. You've gone and got yourself a V8 Audi. What's going on, mate? And I bet you're living in Balmain too.
Close, Roselle. But look, the reason I did make those changes from Holden to Ford is actually to do with supercar racing. So I made the switch with Craig Lowndes when he made the move because I really like Craig Lowndes, good old Lowndesy, who's now he's no longer racing anymore, or not full time. And then for that moment on, I supported Fords, and then I ended up buying an Audi.
Mate, you're starting to bore me. Audi. When I hear Audi European, we're talking muscle cars. Anyway, you're F3?
F16 now.
Okay, he's lost a bit of weight, so he's gone down the fat scale. We've got F2. This is my brother, Con. How are you, Connie? Good to see you, mate.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Yeah, good. So Connie's joining us. And Connie, in recent times, has acquired a new toy. Tell us about the new Harley, mate. I know it's not quite a muscle car, but you've got yourself a new Harley Davidson motorcycle. Tell us about your ride.
It is. It's a 2017, what we call a Softail Slim. Which goes against what I am, people saying, I should have bought a fat boy or something. But, I bought a Softail Slim. But I've kept true to my Australian heritage, Harry, and I drive every day a G6E Turbo.
Good man.
And,
not like that other Balmain boy.
So I haven't jumped ship, and I still live in Canterbury, so, yeah.
And he's a cab driver after
all. And a cab driver.
he hasn't even gone Uber. Fair play to your champion. And we also got young Nathan Georgia. So I want to introduce Nathan. I've come to know Nathan. He's a good bloke. But he's of the generation that followed, I guess, ours. So Nathan is almost young enough to be my son. He's about my son's vintage. And Nathan is all things turbo. So he has this little, what is it, Nathan? Is it like an 86 Toyota race car and you muck around with the turbos and whatever? So he doesn't qualify to be an F. He's not quite the fat boy. But Nathan is, he is probably very much one of the new generation, if you like. So tell us about all your racing and your Toyotas and the 86s, mate.
Yep. So previous vehicle was a Toyota 86. I'm not going to do myself any favors at the moment because currently riding around in a Mercedes SLK. However, guys, you know
Oxford
what?
Street. Hello. SLK. Do they make them in pink, son?
You can't say that.
You can't. Why, man? I was born in 1966. I can say whatever I like.
Naturally aspirated.
Naturally aspirated. Go on, mate. Go.
I will add to that, though. I did watch the video of that GTHO around the track in Oran Park. And, mate, I would think the SLK would have a GTO.
You know what would have a GTHO in this day, to be honest with that? Probably a Toyota Corolla off the lights, mate. We're talking about 50-year technology. But it's not all about speed off the lights. It's nostalgia. It's what it meant to you back in the day, etc., etc. We've gone through all that. But anyhow, look, we've got a great show lined up. So we've got Nathan Georges. He's going to be joining us from time to time. We've got Jason Brownlee. He's going to be a regular co-host. And we've got Con Christian, my beloved brother. He's here. He's F2. Jace is F3. I'm F1. And we today are going to be talking to the boys from the Phase 3 Odyssey. So Phase 3 Odyssey is all about boys, a bunch of mates, and a good mate of mine, Leo Currie. Davey Frake. So Dave runs GT Ford Performance or Ford GT Performance or whatever, however, he can tell us all about it. And then we've got Mark Lamb, who is an enthusiast and a collector. And we've got a guy called Mark Collegia. He runs Cleargate Pictures. These boys have gone and embarked on a mission. A lifelong tick the box, if you like. What's that word? What's the
bucket list?
Bucket list. That's it, bro. Yeah, you got it. So the bucket list is all about start out of Melbourne, all the way north to the Northern Territory, across to WA, down to South Australia, and they're going to land in Adelaide, where over the Easter weekend we're going to have the I think it's the 18th, something like that. Anyway, Nationals, the GT Nationals, which actually will be celebrating the 50th anniversary of the GDHO Ford Falcon. So the GDHO Falcon, boys, you know, is the most revered of Australian muscle cars. So this year we celebrate the 50th anniversary because the first GDHO Phase 1, and you had one of these, Connie, right?
Sure did. Aggression Gold, number 12.
Aggression Gold.
Number 12 ever made.
Gorgeous car. I remember that very well. The old little Windsor, right?
Sure was.
Top loader, 9-inch.
Top loader, 9-inch, yep. 351 Windsor.
Wow, gorgeous car. So 69 was when the first GDHO was released. They got onto the racetrack. Of course, they went on to 71, which culminated in the Phase 3, and off they went. Anyway, so this year celebrates the 50th anniversary of the GDHO. We're going to be talking to a guy called Hugh Westphalen. So Hugh, he is all things GDHO or Ford GT Nationals. He's organizing the GD Nationals in Adelaide over the Easter weekend. We're going to be dialing in and speaking to Hugh, really lovely bloke. There's not much about GTs that he doesn't know. There's not much that the likes of Dave Frakey doesn't know. Leo Curry, as I say, he's a collector. He's been doing it for many, many years. Mark Lamb, he's a stalwart. All these guys are Victorians. We've got Hugh out of South Australia. And off we go. So we're going to have a great old chat, and off we go.
Harry, what are they driving around Australia? Do you want to tell the people exactly what they're driving around Australia, just to put it into perspective? And, you know, they're doing 15,000 kilometres or more, you know, from Northern Territory to Western Australia across the Nullarbor and so forth. But tell the people what they're doing it in and what these cars are worth as well.
Yeah, good call. Look, for these guys, to be honest, Con, it's not about the value. And these cars, on average, are probably worth between $600,000 and $800,000 each. These guys are driving these things through bush, water. They're treating them like bush bashers. Absolute Land Cruisers is what they call them. But it's not about them for them. They're about the experience, and as they will tell us, it's all about the people they meet along the way. The car collections they see away, the characters they see away, the scenery they see along the way. It's no longer about the value of the cars. You can collect these things and put them in cotton wool and mothballs and whatever and look at them as trophies. But Leo, Dave, and certainly Mark have been around for long enough to know that it's about the life experience. So that's what they're doing. So, yeah, they're worth $600,000, $700,000, $800,000 each. They're GDHO Phase 3s. They made 300 of them. There's probably about 110 left in the world. Their attitude is, who gives a shit? I'm going to die one day. Let's get out and let's wrap the shit out of these things. So if you actually see the documentary that's going to come out of their experience, their odyssey, if you like, it'll blow your mind, because they really treat these things like, not with contempt, but the way they were built to be treated back in 1971. So they're having a great old time.
Like a true grand tourer.
Grand touring around Australia. 15,000 Ks, boys. They're having a great old time.
What about parts? What if something falls off the car, or what are they going to do out there? I'm sure those parts aren't readily available.
Well, let me tell you about they've got a couple of support vehicles, but Dave Frakey, he runs a very successful and has been probably the oldest, if you like, spare parts and restoration business in the GT world out of Victoria called GT Performance. Mate, no shortage of parts. There are the likes of, you know, there's a fellow called Bob Maddock. So Bob runs Ford Muscle Parts up here in Sydney. Then we've got the guys that do, so there's Ford Muscle Parts, there's GT Performance. Who are the guys in Victoria? There's the other mob there that Connie, just remind me, mate. You know what I'm talking about.
Eluding me, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so, yeah. Look, there's a huge aftermarket. If you like, parts bin for these things, but also new old stock parts. So they're not short of parts. Mm. So, you know, for them, it's not about that. It's, look, at the end of the day, these things were Ford cabs back in 1971 that were shoehorned with very high-end performance F100 running gear. So they had like a top-loaded gearbox, a 9-inch diff, and a 4V, you know, 351 engine with a four-barrel carby that had a high-profile cam and all the rest of it, and off they went. So well, they're rudimentary, Jason. It's not rocket science.
If a Commodore can survive going around it, or VB Commodore can survive going around Australia, I'm sure a GDHO will.
Absolutely. And you know what? When we talk to these guys, you'll see, because they've just put these things to the test. And I want to wind Frakey up too, because he's had a few, let's say, maintenance issues along the way. But they've had some fun. Anyway, that's us. So we're Muscle Car Radio. We're coming to you. First episode. We're having a great old time. And when we come back, we're going to talk F1. We're going to talk V8s, and then we're going to dial in and talk to the Phase 3 boys, and we're going to talk to Hugh from the GT Nationals. All right, so Jace, mate, we talked about the Phase 3s, and we talked about the Odyssey and everything else that was happening. F1, what is happening this year, mate? I'm at a bit of a loss.
Well, F1, to be honest, has been at a loss, in my view, for the last few years, purely because of the dominance of Lewis Hamilton and well, specifically the Mercedes AMG team. And I know that not only myself, but a lot of other people have switched off from F1. You know, I was even when Schumacher was dominating back in the early 2000s, I'd at least watch the first 10 laps before I went to bed.
Yeah.
Whereas now I don't even really watch it that much anymore, to be honest. But in terms of Ricciardo specifically, I did see him on a actually, they've got a great series on Netflix.
I saw that, yeah.
And he, you know, he portrays himself as this always as this happy-go-lucky Aussie kid that's done well. And we all know you have to be one of the most ultra-competitive people going even to get into F1, let alone do well at F1.
Mm.
Now, why he chose to leave Red Bull and go to Renault, I think we were commenting on it earlier. There was obviously a financial incentive for him to do that.
Oh, how much was it, Connie?
I think it was around 40, 48 million euro a year.
Not bad, but still, it's not about not the money bad. After a while, right? So it's a lot of money, but it comes a time when it's not about the money, right, Jess?
Correct. And you don't... If you're going to get to that level, all those guys, they don't go in there just to race the car. They go in there to be the world champion. Mm-hmm. And that's the same pretty much in any of that elite level. So I'm sure even on the V8 sides locally, you don't just go in racing V8 supercars just to make up the numbers. You want to win the championship or you want to win Bathurst.
Right.
And it's the same and certainly in F1. You don't want to make up the numbers. You want to win the world championship.
Yeah. I mean, what I couldn't understand is he had a really average year with the Red Bull and Renault. I mean, the most unreliable of the engine / manufacturers. And then he went across to Renault themselves, who run the – I mean, so just to set up the scene, the Red Bull team were using the Renault engines, right? And they had all sorts of issues. Renault decided last year that we're going to get rid of these things and we're going to bring in the Honda engine. So for mine, Honda has been reliable, been building – and he's gone across to the Renault team with a view to bringing them to a constructor / championship for himself. So,
to be fair, in his defence, if you look at the history of the Honda engine as well, when it was in McLaren,
right,
they had a horrendous run with that. They almost blew up every race.
Right.
So I can see his thought process, as well as being the guaranteed team number one lead at Renault. Whereas in Red Bull, that was always up for discussion, right?
Exactly right. So I think politics has a lot to play with his decision as well. As Max, you know, Verstappen was their number one driver, and there was always a tussle between the two of them. So I think not only was it a financial...
Didn't they get into it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I actually watched that documentary on Netflix as well, and it's... if any of the listeners haven't watched it, it's absolutely amazing. It's the footage and the camera work and just the insides of, you know, of all the teams and how they operate and what makes them tick as well. You know, like a lot of them, you know, will pick drivers regardless of how good they are based on what they can bring to the team with regards to financial or sponsorship, or, you know, and they'll pick a driver who's not as good as another driver, but he has more sponsorship, for example.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's funny how they operate. It's a cutthroat industry.
Anyway, look, I think I wish him all the best. I hope he does very well. He's a homegrown Aussie and we love him.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone across to the Renault team. They're going to struggle. Red Bull, you know what, they've got off to a flying start, but it's very early in the season. Correct. It's a long season, just like the footy season and my Mighty Roosters, you know what I mean? We've had a loss, but, you know, we're going to come back. It's hey, what are you laughing at, Manly supporter? Oh, sorry, Jess,
I'm Canberra Raiders supporter. They're going well. They're number five.
He's been a long time. Anyhow, the point being that I hope he does well, because and I want to see that, you know, maybe he's made the right decision. But anyway, for whatever reason, it is what it is. And,
I think long-term and you know, he did sign a long-term contract, and that's the plan. And he's building. I know, obviously, he wants to come out of the blocks but to be successful. I think more as an ego thing against the decision that he made to leave Red Bull, which I get as well.
It's a lot of money. You can't ignore what he went across for.
No,
right?
Not at all.
I mean, you know, he's at a stage of his life where he's going to maximise his return, right?
Yeah, that's right. And he's a marketable product from a Renault perspective as well, in terms of advertisements on a global scale. Yeah. So, look, I think give it time, and we'll see. We'll come back to this conversation towards the middle of the year and see where we're at.
So, mate, that said, what about the V8s? How good are the Mustangs going? Are they real Mustangs, though?
I have been extremely excited.
How are you with it?
No, to be fair, I went to Newcastle at the end of the last race for last season, and that was fantastic. I watched the last racing Falcon made in Australia win the championship against the Opals. So that was a great thing.
What a great track too, Jason.
It is.
What a great track.
It is. And I think I sent you guys a text saying we should come up here to go up there this year. And the Mustang, look, in terms of the development that's gone on behind that with Team Penske, you know, we now have a legitimate competitor against 888, which I think is actually, you know, it's great for the sport. I've already seen and read and heard that, you know, Roland's not overly happy with the dominance of the Mustang already and wants to start making changes. In fact, one of them's already gone through.
It has. I saw that last week, actually. Yeah. That was,
They're changing where the ballast goes in the car in terms of altering the center of gravity.
Correct.
And this has the Ford guys are saying this is not going to have that much of an impact on their vehicle. So we'll see what happens this weekend down in Tasmania at Launceston. And that's a very much a short squirt and go track. So we'll see how they go down there. But I think it's been good for the sport so far. We obviously don't, even though I am a Ford supporter, I don't want to see them run away with it. I'd rather.
You want it to be a close, competitive, sort of an affair. Otherwise, it just becomes too boring. Yeah. Right?
What are your feelings, guys, about the Mustang racing as opposed to, you know, I think it's stirred things up a bit, hasn't it?
Mm.
It's become very
emotional.
I don't know. No, Americanized. I think more than anything, you've still got the Commodore. We all know that it's, you know, not built in Australia.
That's right.
No. It's a German Austrian.
Yeah.
So just on that, just before you go there, and we'll come back to the supercar stats, I just want to bring to your attention some stats regarding car sales, guys. Blown away. I was looking at this only today. Car sales in the last quarter, because we've just finished a quarter, right? So 25% down across the board. Are you guys aware of that?
Wow. New car sales.
No, new car sales. 25%.
What, any new car?
All new cars. The ZB Commodore, you know how many they sold? 423 units.
Yeah, and half of them would have gone to Avis.
In fact, the number one manufacturer across the board was Toyota, and the Hilux itself outsold the entire Holden range. I mean, what has happened?
Really? Yeah. No, I haven't seen those stats.
That is a true story. So I've seen that. Of Modern Motor have published that today. So Toyota were the number one seller, some 17,000 cars. Hilux, 4,500 cars. Outsold the entire Holden range, which really is all about Opel and whatever you want to call it, the German, the Austrian. Well, I mean,
And pretty sure the Hilux still doesn't have the dynamic cruise control. Can you believe it? So they're selling last year's technology and still getting people lining up for it.
Oh, what a feeling.
Yeah, wow.
But you know what? It just blew my mind, these things. So the other one that's coming really, really close to the Toyota is the Ford. What do they call the Ford?
The Ranger.
Ranger. So the Ranger is almost about to sell the entire outsell, just the one vehicle, the one model, about to outsell the entire Holden range. I'm just blown away. I just times have changed.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose it goes on to a different, an alternate topic that we're going to touch on in terms of the market, in terms of vehicles in Australia and the passion behind it. We all, or some of us here, we all grew up with...
Don't look at Nathan when you talk like that, just because he's into his little turbo shit, turbo performance vehicles.
We all grew up in the time where, you know, it's what version of Falcon or Commodore or Tirana or Kingswood, for that matter, that you had, or Chrysler, that you had in the driveway. So if someone turned up with a new Calais or a Statesman, you were getting excited. That was like, oh, they're doing well. Now that's replaced.
Says the bloke who's just bought a V8 Audi. I'm just very disappointed. You can talk it up all you like, but you've sold out.
And I've just realised, but earlier you said my name and what suburb I live in, so now I'm going to have to move my car.
Back to young with you, mate, cherry-picking country. Anyway, look, you're tuned into Muscle Car Radio's. I'm Harry Christian. I'm here with Con Christian, my brother. I'm here with Jason Brownlee, good old mate of mine, and I'm here with Nathan Georges. And we're going to come back, and after the break, we're going to talk to the Phase 3 Odyssey boys, and then we're going to talk to the guys who are organising the 18th GT Falcon Nationals. Welcome back to Muscle Car Radio's. Harry Christian, I'm your host. Look, we've got some very special guests on, guys. We've got the Phase 3 Odyssey guys, a guy called Davey Frake. So Dave is as old as the GT scene. He's been around a long, long time. Davey's an authority when it comes to restorations, when it comes to parts, when it comes to looking after those beautiful old Grand Tourers. He and a fellow friend, brother and business partner of mine called Leo Curry. So Leo and a guy called Mark Lamb, they're touring around Australia. They kicked off in Melbourne and they've gone up through the East Coast all the way up to Queensland, Northern Territory, cut across to Western Australia, down south, and they're going to land at the 18th. GT Falcon Nationals, the 50th anniversary of the GDHO in Adelaide on the long weekend, the Easter weekend. So the guys have been trekking around. So they've been doing all sorts of things. They've taken these cars, which are collectively, boys, probably worth about $2 or $3 million. You know, they're each worth $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 more of. And they're just having a great old time, and they are really living the dream. They've taken these cars, which we revere as the best muscle cars available in Australia today, and they've taken them bush, they've taken them through rivers, they've taken them through river crossings, they've caned the shit out of them, they've thrashed them, they've done all sorts of things, and a guy called Mark Collegia, who's also with them, he runs a company called Cleargate Pictures. He's putting together a documentary. So Mark is our man. He's with the guys. And I want to really welcome these guys. Dave, Leo, Mark, how are you, boys? All good?
Well, thank you. Thanks for that.
Excellent. No trouble at all. And, you know, on top of this odyssey that these guys are doing, they're raising money for charity. So we'll talk to that later. But, Leo, tell me, mate, what are you doing and why are you doing what you are doing?
We're doing it because we can.
I like it. I like it a lot. So Leo told me a long time ago, it's about freedom, right?
100%. It's about freedom and it's about choice. And
it's about Phase 3.
And the Phase 3s, of course, and the cars and the connection. I mean, look, we've driven for hours and hours and hours in these cars. No air conditioning. And the only thing is we've got the vents. But, mate, you never get bored. You never get bored of seeing that thing on the hood turning, swishing around, and we're having a good old time.
So when you say that thing on the hood, what are you talking about specifically?
Be more specific. The shaker.
Jason, you know about the shaker?
I do indeed.
What is that, mate?
Well, it's the head of the engine that sticks out over the bonnet.
The aluminium air cleaner. Correct. Yeah. So these guys have taken some, not replicas, Jace. They've taken genuine Phase 3s, what most guys and collectors would put into sheds under silk, you know, covers and in cotton wool. And they've taken these out and they've taken them bush. They've taken whatever. So apart from the drive guys and the scenery and everything else you've done, tell us about the people you've met along the way, because surely that must be of interest.
Well, that's part of the trip. I mean, the whole idea is meeting the different people you come across, and obviously traveling around Australia, you get to see all types. Funny characters, and serious people, and people that come out of the woodwork. And people that are following us that aren't really even interested in cars; they're just following our trip. We've just come up to us in the street, and I've been following you. And I said, you got a GT or something? No, I just been following you. And, just even we went to a checkpoint there when we came into Western Australia, and the guys, I said, I got any fruit, got this, you got that. He goes, I knew you were coming, I've been following you on this trip. I go, you got a GT, you got a Ford? No, I've just been following you. There's people everywhere just following us. So I just, they're not even interested in cars.
Man, listen, no, serious, Jason here, it does sound fantastic. It's something that I've certainly probably always wanted to do. But where actually are you right now? Like, I know you just said you're in WA, but where are you in WA?
We're in Derby.
In Derby, okay. Right north. So the aircon missing would be probably not a good thing.
You know, they've got the vent windows going. Not even the aircon.
Going on what they've said is that the lady that owns the place here, the Boab Inn, she's put us up at night, and we've been offered free fuel at the Shell servo up the road.
Yeah, good people.
So people are fantastic. They've just been great. They opened their homes, opened everything for us.
And all the people that have opened their garages for us and showed us all their car collections, they're so appreciated. And the fact that we appreciate it, the fact that everybody else that gets to see the pictures appreciates it as well. And basically this is the trip to show people in outback areas or places out of the way that have these cars. We're trying to show other people, not just us. We get there to see them firsthand, but we've obviously got the Facebook page, and we're putting up as much stuff as we can with the limited time we do and the limited download speed or upload speed you get with places we go to. The internet's not real flash, so that everybody else can see the stuff that we see, you know what I mean? So this is what we're doing hit for as well.
Got it. Absolutely. So the place to check this out is the Phase 3 Odyssey. So PHASE3111 Odyssey.
That's III or capital
III. That's it for Phase 3 Odyssey. Yeah. So tell me, that's the Facebook page. Out of this, Mark Collegia, Cleargate Pictures, the idea is that we're going to get a documentary out of this, and we'll be able to pass it on to the people as they need to look at it. And tell me more about the charity work you're doing, because apart from the fact that you guys are living the dream and you're doing what it is you're doing, and more importantly, you're raising money along the way for some very needy charities. And I think our listeners would be more than happy to hear about that, because and I'll tell them where they can go to donate money as required. But tell us a little bit about that, Dave.
We're raising obviously money for three charities. There's the men's mental health, so in other words, men with depression, like Beyond Blue, and to say that in theory, like what we're doing is something that obviously not every man can do, but they can hop in something similar to what we have in regards to just go out and do stuff where they think they can't do it. You actually can do it, you know what I mean? So don't sit in the dumps and feel like you can't do anything, like you can get out and do something, you know what I mean? Mm. So it's raising awareness that for men in particular, that enjoy your life and get out and do stuff, you know what I mean?
Well, that's what I did with Dave. Dave was sitting in a bit of a mental rut, and I said, Dave, come on, let's go for a drive. He goes, all right, that sounds like a plan, let's go. Is that right, Dave?
Yeah, so now I'm not in a mental rut anymore.
Oh, mate, I've been in a couple of mental ruts myself. Don't worry about that. We've all been in a rut or two. But that's great. Look, what you guys are doing and raising awareness, and fair play to you, like it's a very noble cause. Apart from that, you're having a great old time. And you're meeting some real characters along the way. So we followed the trek, and you guys have gone from Victoria up to New South Wales. You've caught up with all the characters in Sydney, and then you moved on to the Gosford and the Gold Coast and Queensland and up to the Northern Territory. You must have seen some real characters along the way. Any standouts, boys? Tell us about anybody who's really made an impression on you.
Oh, God.
You meant God?
Where was he?
Where was he, mate?
Or she?
Queensland, Northern Territory. Talk to me, because I really need to contact.
Definitely been Queensland, I'm sure.
I thought I came close to seeing him a few times. It's been all good. Yeah. Apart from Mark, that's had a little close encounter with one of the natives.
Yeah. Was that a falcon or something?
It was a wedgie, wedgie sailor eagle. So he managed to find himself a windscreen in Alice Springs, of all places. Yes,
WB windscreens
of Alice Springs. And yeah, that's another thing. All these people that we've met along the way that helped us out, you know, you could see it on our Facebook page. They've just been so good with the tyres, with windscreens, with wheel alignments,
services,
you know, Tempe tyres and Proserpine.
So sorry, man. When you said WB, you didn't mean you've got a Holden windscreen and a Hoey. Is that what you're saying?
Please, yeah, sacrilege.
One of the biggest elements that we've beaten to is the weather.
Everyone was warning us, Cyclone Trevor and Cyclone this and Cyclones everywhere, and I say, we did get beaten a little bit because we couldn't get to far northern Queensland where we wanted to go to Cooktown because the river come up and we couldn't get across it. We couldn't even get to the barge to cross it because it already crossed the road before we could even get to it. So, yeah, we had to do a U-turn and come back there, you know what I mean? We got beaten there. We'll continue on. We'll maybe go back there another day and get as far as we can.
Excellent.
You can only go as far as you can with the weather conditions that you have. But, yeah, that's all good. We've done a U-turn, got a steering wheel, just put it in reverse, back up, and go the other way.
To what you've got to do. So speaking of steering wheels and general maintenance, Dave, how's the old yellow Phase 3 of yours? Because I know Leo's driving his white thing, and then Mark's got his Mark, is it Vermilion or is it a track red car? Just remind me.
It's a Vermilion car.
Vermilion Fire, beautiful car. So talk to me about your beautiful yellow car. How's that going maintenance-wise? Has it been a sort of reliable thing? Have you had any issues along the way? And this question has never been prompted by Leo at all.
Okay. The car is singing, like it just sings, you know. But I couldn't hear the song of the engine over the noise of the rear wheel bearing. So I better change it before I went any further, and then that way I could listen to the engine without the noise coming from the back seat, you know what I mean? So got that sorted. I put a couple of bearings in it up in Queensland, so in Brisbane, yeah, the Gold Coast, whatever. So that was good, got that sorted. Everything else running fine until we got here. All of a sudden, Sata Motor decides to lock itself into the flywheel. But anyway, don't get me wrong, it's like 47,000 degrees under there at the moment, but it's cooled down a little bit by now, so hopefully it might disengage itself and come good. We get over there and smack it with a hammer or a bit of a coconut or something we can find.
These are $800,000 car boys. I mean, these guys aren't kidding. They're smacking mechanical parts with hammers. Anyway.
Whatever works.
It's part of the trip, boys, and it's part of the experience. So fair play to you. And I'm here to tell you that Australia and the car scene is in awe of what you're doing. And really, fair play to you. We really are watching you. We're following each of your steps. And the charitable work that you're doing is most noble. So we thank you very much for your time.
A couple of charities. I mentioned men's mental health, but there's also we're doing kids with cancer. Mm-hmm. We're raising money for that as well, and as well as Police Legacy, mm-hmm. which refers to police that, you know, take their own lives and mental health of them as well. Yeah,
they've seen some trauma, haven't they, over the years, the boys?
Exactly. So, yeah. Well, those three charities are what we're raising the money for. Mm-hmm. So if you feel like you need to, that's affected you in your life, hop onto the Phase 3 Odyssey page, or you can get through it as well with the GT4 performance page. There's a link on that. You can, it's easier to spell, and go through to it. And there's a GoFundMe page set up, mm-hmm. that you can click on and go and donate.
And the funny thing is, guys, we roll up everywhere and everyone's just coming up and giving money to Dave.
Hey, I've got 10 bucks while I'm sitting there talking to you. Some guy's coming up behind me. It's Alex.
People have been generous and they're giving and they're just like unbelievable. The work and the way people feel about the cars, about what we're doing. And they just come up from everywhere.
That's brilliant. Yeah. We'll advertise on our site as well as others how people can donate. Is there a particular page? I mean, look, they go to Facebook and they look up what Phase 3 Odyssey. Is that the best way to do it, boys? What's the best way to go?
Or GT Ford Performance, if they can spell GT Ford Performance. The link is on there to Phase 3 Odyssey.
That's it?
Right, Phase 3 is PHASE and III. It gets a little bit, dodgy. Right. They're trying to say everything with capital L's or three I's or whatever it is.
We'll place it on our site, this one.
Yeah, and there'll be links there, and you'll find it.
I mean, it's on Muscle Car Sales, Chris. They go there and they can get it from there as well.
And I'll be really, really looking forward to seeing the donation from you, Harry, there.
Hello. It's a very bad line. Hello. You're breaking up. Hello. Yeah. No, of course we will, mate. We all will. We all will. We're all going to donate and do the right thing for sure. So, boys, apart from all that, you guys are going to culminate in where? Where are you going to end up and what is the date? Are we talking about the GT Nationals?
South Australian Adelaide Falcon GT Nationals, which basically starts on the 19th of April, which is check-in day, so to speak. Mm-hmm. The show starts on the weekend, obviously Easter long weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And that's where it's all happening. So you be there or be square. There's going to be a lot of cars.
And the cars won't be washed. I mean, Dave's talking about washing half
of it. I'm washing half of it. I'm just going to leave half of it. But down the middle, not left and not the back half and front half. I'm going to do it.
That'll be a before and after, Dave.
But that's Dave's way of distorting his mental state.
An absolute pleasure. It's called the Phase 3 Odyssey. You can catch the boys on Facebook. We will advertise on Muscle Car Radio, their sites, where you can donate. It's been a real pleasure. We've had Dave Frake, who runs GT Ford Performance down in Melbourne. These guys have been around since GTs have been around, and you can get all the bits and pieces and restoration work, so give them a buzz if you need any bits and bobs. We've got Leo Currie, who's one of the most prolific collectors of these GTs, GDHOs, and has been on the scene for many, many years. We've got Mark Lamb, who is another stalwart. All Victorians. I don't know why. Why is it these Victorians? What is it, the weather down there? No, they're just indoors? What is
because
going
they're
on?
Made there, mate.
Because they're made there. Ah, what are you talking about? Geelong and Broadmeadows. Yeah, okay. Listen, that's enough out of you.
Harry, yes. Harry, I'll tell you why the weather. Do you know what the weather's like there at the moment? It's like -5, mate. No wonder
you're out of there.
On another note, Harry, when are you going to join the Odyssey?
Do you know what? I'm too busy making radio programs promoting you to you guys. I can't get over there. But look, if I get a chance, I certainly will. I'd love to get across. But either way, we're going to catch up in South Australia and Adelaide at the Nationals. So it's been a real pleasure. Thank you, Leo, and thank you, Dave. You guys have been great. And thank you, Mark. And give Mark Collegia a big g'day from Cleargate Pictures. And ladies and gentlemen, just hang out for this documentary that's about to hit the streets. It's called The Phase 3 Odyssey, 15,000 kilometres around Australia, raising money and living the dream. So thank you, guys, and have a great trip. Stay safe. So, Connie, Matt Sandman ute. Apparently you've got one of these now. So I must say, Jace, I've seen the ute that Con's bought. Have you seen it, the white one?
No, I haven't.
I mean, it's a clamour of a car, and he's bought it off a guy called Nick who runs a place called Neo's Grill in Earlwood. So, Nick, if you're listening out there, I want a free feed, mate, because I've just mentioned you. So next time I come down there, I've got to get some free chickens, mate. And if I don't, you're never getting a mention again. Anyway, that said, Nick was good enough to sell this particular ute, which was a bit of a runaround, to Connie. Tell us about the ute, mate. It's just a lot of fun, right?
It is. It is. And my boys, I've got two boys. I've got a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old who are absolute car nuts. And Harry and I used to drag race a Capri back in the day, and only a few years ago. So we sold that about 2 years ago, And that was a super sedan, had a, I don't know if you remember it, Jason, had a 393 engine in it. It weighed 1,000 kilos and it was about 750 horsepower. So it was a lot of fun to drive. So we ended up selling it because we weren't using it that often. And I was getting itchy feet and I thought, well, what do we do? So I saw this Sandman ute that, that Nick had and it had a, you know, I heard it one day and it had a quite a warm little engine in it. And I,
what was the engine, Connie? Was like
so it's a 350. It's a 350 Chev, aluminium headed, you know, the usual, you know, big four-barrel carby. It's got a turbo 400 gearbox. 9-inch diff with, you know, proper axle.
Just on that, isn't it funny how all the Holdens end up with 9-inch Ford diffs just to make them reliable? I am just saying.
I was going to say something, but I won't.
But the thing is just, you know, it's on the original GDS rims with the little cheese, what are they called? Cheese cutter tires.
Yep.
And the thing is just a burnout machine. So it's a 3-speed turbo 400 and it just lights them up all three gears.
The police aren't listening.
No. Only on private road. Private
road. Yeah. In my driveway.
No, yeah. So the boys, every time I put the boys in it, it's got a bench seat and they're going, yeah, the burnouts, Dad, burnouts. So I've got to comply and
it's a lot of fun. That thing so cranks.
It is fun, yeah.
And you know what? There's nothing like doing something with your young bloke. I'm in the process at the moment of going through a bit of a restoration project with my bloke who's 21 and decided he's going to finally get his driver's license after being able to do it for 3 or 4 years but just being too much of a bludger to do it because he's been doing other things. So, you know, it's a great thing. So when I see Con's young bloke, Charlie and Pete, mate, their faces light up. They just love it. They get into this thing and, so your boys are right into it too,
yeah,
right?
Ewan is following in my footsteps. He's turning 11 this year, so he's a bit younger. But I did see a car which really caught my eye when I was just up the coast just recently at Catherine Hill Beach, and it was a 1974, I think, XBGS ute.
Oh, nice.
With that cream colour. Yeah. And it was absolutely immaculate. Nothing out of control. It was just standard. And I just went, it looks so good. And it sounded good. And it's been looked after. And it's not that much. It's probably about 30 grand to 40 grand.
We're at that stage of our lives, boys, you know, where our kids are starting to come on. And it's great because you're doing the father-son thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Jase, you know what I saw today, mate?
What?
This is going to bring you back. Mitsubishi Starion Turbo. I had the Commodore Wagon. You know how I've done the religious experience and gone back to a Holden Commodore Wagon because I've just had enough of this carry-on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting the air conditioning regassed, as you do, in a Commodore Wagon.
Yep.
And at the front of this air conditioning place was a Turbo Starion. Do you remember those things?
I do. I do indeed. And I just so the listeners understand what the historics behind this. My first vehicle was a 1983 Mitsubishi Scorpion. So I do have a bit of a soft spot for
Connie, a Scorpion.
Astron.
Yeah. Astron 2.6 big block.
Yep. 115 in second gear.
down the back streets of Young.
That's right, down the back streets of Young. Hopefully mum's not listening. And
Mrs. Brownlee, this is your son, Jason.
Those cars were actually, the Starions, were actually way ahead of their time. That's when Mitsubishi was a bit ahead of the curve. And then they had the same time, or just after they had the Cordias, Mitsubishi Cordias, which I'm sure that New South Wales Highway Patrol regretted putting into the
fleet. They didn't they include them in the fleet? They took them on and fleet. That was around the same time as the 5-litre VK Commodores and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But they had this turbo lag thing happening. Do you remember the turbo lag before they actually sorted out the turbo cars?
Correct. And they ended up wrapping a few of them around trees from memory. And also remember they also had the VL Turbo.
Yes.
Highway Patrol car. So, of course.
Big dollars now.
High-speed chase. They pull someone over. Mm-hmm. And then they turned the engine off. And back then, the engine would just cook itself. So they weren't going anywhere.
Thanks for coming. That's right. So next up, we have Hugh Westphalen. So Hugh is the organiser of the 18th GT Nationals that are going to be hosted over this Easter weekend in Adelaide. So we've just heard from the Phase 3 Odyssey guys, and they've gone around Australia Trek, and they're going to end up in Adelaide. Hugh is the guy that's putting together the GT Nationals, the 18th, and also the 50th anniversary of the GDHO Falcon. So 1969, first GDHO Falcon, Phase 1, Connie?
Yeah.
Windsor, four-speed top
Gresham,
loader.
Gresham Gold.
XW, blah, blah, blah. And so Hugh is responsible for all things GT Nationals in Adelaide. Hugh, I hope you're well. Tell us a little bit about what it is you're doing, mate, because we're really excited and we're sort of weeks away.
Okay. Well, I guess it's been a very long process. We started work on this probably about 2.5 to 3 years ago, knowing that it was our turn this year in 2019. Taken a long time to put together. We've sort of taken a bit of a leaf from what happened in WA at the last Nationals by way of having an indoor event that was so popular that we decided we would follow suit and have an indoor event here. And we've chosen the best possible venue we could get in Adelaide, which is the Adelaide Showgrounds, where all the major car shows are held here in Adelaide. And we had the delegates over here 12 months ago as a preview for the event. They were simply blown away by the facility which we're going to put on. So we can fit around about close to 300 cars in the area that we've got. And we're going to be up around the 270 mark, which is just a little short of our target, but it's going to be a tight squeeze anyway. So, yeah, we're really looking forward to a big roll-up.
Yeah, sorry, man. It's Jason here. Just a quick question for the listeners. So when you say GT, is that just GTHO, or does that extend like all the way through to EBs and et cetera?
Yes, it does. It's all GTs. GTHOs are the crowd favourite, I guess, mm-hmm. and anybody that's got a GT aspires to own one day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all GTs from the first 67 XR GT right through to the latest GTF, which was released in 2014. So every GT ever made, entirely welcome.
Excellent. So so XR, we've got XT, and then we go XW, XY, and right up to the modern-day GTs. But, you know, the real holy grail has always been the GDHO, Hugh. That's always been the sort of, you know, the high-performance, high-output, whatever you want to call it, handling option or whatever it was called. The GDHO, the Phase 1 was a Windsor-powered vehicle. Then they went to a 1.5, which was a Cleveland thing, a hydraulic thing. Then they went to the Phase 2, which most people consider the toughest of cars. You know, it was just raw. Cleveland solid power engine, and they went to the Phase 3, which was the pinnacle of, and we've just been talking to the guys on the Phase 3 Odyssey. They've taken their Phase 3s and they're driving them in Australia. So 50th anniversary, what does that mean to the local scene? Because there is no more revered muscle car in Australia than the GDHO. What sort of a turnout are you expecting, Hugh?
Well, I can let you know that we've got a record number of HOs entered into our event. We've got 31 HOs entered for our event, including the three that you've just been talking about going around Australia, Leo and Frakey and Mark Lambs with them as well. Those guys will be here in Adelaide, and we hope their cars will be presented in the condition that they finish their big venture in. No. Very bugged and road stained and everything like that, because that will be a real attraction.
Yeah,
but we've got a mixture of Phase ones, 1.5s, 2s, 3, lots of 3s. So 31 HOs in total, and as far as I know, that's just about a record for a Nationals.
Wow, Hugh, it's Con here. Hugh, I know there's a lot of criteria with regards to judging these cars as well. You know, I've had quite a few GTs and HO and all sorts of cars, and I've often entered them into the GT Nationals and other events and so forth. Can you go through some of the criteria, or what some of your judges look for in, you know, the ultimate cars? What they look out for? What are some of the good things? What are some of the bad things? Or let us know what some of the criteria are.
I guess the main thing they're looking for is originality. Some cars get restored, beautiful, back to the day like they were when they left the factory, probably better. But some cars do get over-restored, if you know what I mean. And they're just sort of chocolate box cars. And I think the judges really look for something that's more original than over-restored. Originality counts really big time, for sure.
Excellent. Look, we've been part and parcel of that. In every nationals, it seems that the standard is getting better and better, Hugh. And the, you know, we've been involved in the scene, Con, my brother and I, for some years. And it seems the over-restored cars were the flavour of the month once upon a time. And then people went back to the, you know, get as close to factory as possible. So don't over-restore them. Just make them look as though the factory. Because people don't realise back in the day, it was a couple of guys on a Friday that were pushing these things out of the factory. And there wasn't too much method to the madness. Because whilst we review these cars now because they have a track record, back in the day when they produced that, we're just run-of-the-mill high-performance cars. So all of a sudden, everybody's gone, you know what, let's not over-restore them. Let's get them as close to factory as possible. Right, Connie?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Everyone went mad at one stage. They wanted them shiny and bright and paint everywhere and chrome this, that, and the other. But really, when they left the factory, they never looked like that. So people tended to over-restore them. So these days, I'm talking to some of the judges, and they're saying, you know what, we want as close to factory as possible. And in fact, some of the most revered cars are those that have been maintained as original cars that have not been, you know, corrupted or damaged along the way. What is it that you look for specifically, Hugh?
Yeah, that's very true. I guess the bottom line is they're only original once. Once you break through that barrier and start playing with it, and you know, sort of tidying up stuff that was never like that when they left the factory, it's lost its originality, and therefore you're going down a path where the only way you can sort of do well is to go the whole resto. But it's original and originality that really counts, for sure.
Yeah, but it's funny, Hugh, because I've seen, you know, I've restored quite a few of, you know, GTs and HOs and things. And, you know, I remember, you know, doing things like, you know, replicating the overspray underneath the cars and, you know,
That's true.
getting the right orange peel in the paint and, you know, doing all sorts of things. And, you know, I remember people, you know, paying up to thousands and thousands in the tens of thousands of dollars for original door trims rather than reproduction door trims or, you know, steering wheels.
And
so it's amazing what lengths people go to, you know, try and keep them as honest as they were when they came out.
Yep, that's quite right. Yep, that's the way to go. Yeah.
Hugh, sorry, Jason here again. I do know a little bit about cars, but I was interested to.
Audi V8s don't count, mate. We're talking GDHO Falcons here. What are you going with this?
Leave the Audi out of it. I was interested. Did you mention before there was a phase 1.5?
One and a half.
Yeah, look. So Hugh can talk more to it because he's been around them longer than I have. And so when they went, when the XW range went from the Windsor powered phase one, went to a phase two, which was the Cleveland powered engine. But in between the solid phase two and the Windsor phase one, there was an in-between version called the 1.5, which was a hydraulic-powered Cleveland engine. They only made a handful
that's
of
correct.
Those.
Yeah, that's quite, right.
Talk to that, Hugh. Tell us a little bit about it.
They are very, very rare. Yeah, I'm not quite sure just whether they ran out of Windsor engines or whether it was just part of the transition to the Cleveland. But you're right, there was the hydraulic Cleveland called the 1.5, which came in, but that was only, I'm not sure how many were made, but not very many.
Yeah.
But then they brought out the Phase 2, which was the real deal. And as you guys said, that's one of the toughest cars they ever made. It was a real cranky one, that one.
Bar the proper HO, the XA. I'm an XA man.
No, that was like a dragon, mate. That was a bit of a pipe dream. But for me, when I personally, the phase two for mine, raw, no rev limiter, the big heads, the Cleveland solid powered engine, the phase two was just such a great car. Solid badges, just tough. Yeah, phase three, absolutely. I get it. They were revered. Yep. They won all the races. They had the shaker, etc. But the phase two for mine was just the most. Anyway, look, for whatever it was, I think, how many cars are you expecting at the Nationals, Hugh?
We're expecting around 260 on show. We've got over 270 entered, but there are some people that enter the show and never bring along a car.
Yeah.
And we're expecting a few of those, but we'll have around 260 cars on show. Majority of those are GTs. Well, we'll have an associate class. There's a few people that bring along associate type vehicles. They've got to be Ford, of course, but you know, like there's the occasional Mustang, there's XR8 Sprint, things like that. We've also got a couple of special cars coming along for the event. Larry Ormsby's old Big O drag car. You probably guys will probably remember that one.
Very familiar with that. Sits in the stable down there in Victoria. In fact, Leo Curry, who we were just talking to, owns that car and has preserved that. A very special vehicle.
Very, very true. And actually, he's consented to have the thing over here for our nationals. So Larry and his car will both be here for that. We've also got one of the original London to Sydney marathon cars that came out in 1968, the XT GT, KAG003.
No, well,
as far as I know, it's the only surviving original GT from the London to Sydney marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And this car has been in hibernation for many, many years. It's never been seen for a long time.
Wow.
But one of our club members knows the guy very well, and we've been able to talk him into bringing the car along to our nationals. So that
excellent.
Will be there. That will be a real standout, that one.
Excellent, Hugh. Look, I'm trying to convince Leo to support some, a London to sort of Australia marathon with the XTs, and we can sort of, you know, reenact that. But anyway, look, whatever the case may be, it sounds as though you've got just some, the standard every time the Nationals get together just keeps getting better and better. I really want to thank you for your time. I want to get all the punters down there over the Easter weekend to Adelaide Showgrounds, the GT Nationals. We're available to view all the bits and pieces and the sponsors and whoever is involved on the Facebook page. Hugh, thanks very much for your time.
Just in parting, I'd like to mention that we've also got Fred Gibson and his wife Christine as our special guests for the weekend.
Wow.
Fred will be at the concourse on Saturday, and he'll be meeting people and signing merchandise or memorabilia, whatever they like. And we've got a hill climb lined up for Sunday, and Fred will be doing exhibition runs in that down in the Southern Vales winery area.
Is he bringing the GTO?
So, Fred, do you know who Fred is?
I do.
Yeah, one of the legends of the GT race days back in the 70s. Yeah.
Double zero racing.
That's it.
The green-eyed monster.
You got it. The green-eyed monster. Yep. Wonderful.
So, Fred, he was a works HO driver. He was, famous for his day. And, obviously we'll be doing an interview with him at the presentation dinner on Sunday night. So really looking forward to that.
Sensational, Hugh. As always, you've been a wealth of knowledge and a great supporter of all things GT and GDHOs. We're really looking forward to the weekend. Thanks for taking the time. You've been listening to Muscle Car Radio. I'm Harry Christian. I'm here with F1, 2 and 3 and Young Nathan. And we'll be back after the break. Welcome back, Muscle Car Radios. What a great show. We've had a great old time. Well, boys, what do you reckon?
I reckon it's been an absolute cracker, Rach. I really do. But as I was saying before, even though I am a Ford man, we've had a Ford show to a certain extent, that next week or next show we need to maybe swing it around to the Holden boys.
Do you know Len Panisi?
I don't.
So Len used to run HCT. So he bought it off the... basically Brocky, and then it went another hand and whatever. So he was HCT for some 20 years. So we're going to get Len on. He's going to talk HCT. He's going to talk Brockies. Nathan?
What about Japanese muscle cars? What's going on with this Ford Holden?
Who is this bloke, Connie?
We mentioned it before, mate. Scorpion.
We talked Astarion Turbo, mate. Where you going, mate? Yeah, now we'll plenty of time. We'll get into that, and you're our man.
I was just on that, Nathan. I was at Jamboree at Eastern Creek Raceway, Dragway on the weekend watching a hell of a lot of really powerful rotaries and little turbos running, and you know they're into the 6 second brackets
rotaries.
Now.
You're out.
Oh. He's gone. He's full of shit. What is going on, Jason? Did you let him in here?
No.
Is he related to you?
No.
But quite relevant. Speaking of rotaries, I actually went to see a RX-7 Spirit R Type A over the weekend. They are currently approaching $80,000 plus.
Wow.
And just recently, one sold for over $120,000 with just over 5,000 Ks on it. Mm. So, you know, you look at the GTHOs, 300 made, et cetera. these cars are going to be classics soon as well. If they're not classics already, absolutely. And then the price is just going to go up.
You know what, Nath? You have just prompted me to think we're going to dedicate a show to future classics, what they are, where they're coming from, and what are their values going to be. So stay tuned. So, folks, thank you very much for tuning in to the first episode for 2019 of Muscle Car Radio. We've had a great old time. I want to thank Nathan Georges. Thank you, Nathan. I want to thank Jason Brownlee, F3. And I want to thank my brother, Con Christian. Thank you, Connie, F2. Yeah, and I'm F1. And more importantly, I want to thank our very special guests, the Face for Odyssey, Dave Frakey, Leo Curry, Mark Lamb, and, of course, Mark Collegia. And then, of course, Hugh Westphalen, who was talking to us all about the 18th GT Nationals. Get down there, Easter long weekend in Adelaide Showgrounds. It's been a real pleasure. We're going to be bringing you shows ongoing from here on in. You've been listening to Muscle Car Radio. We will catch you on the roundabout.